and Service Committee is the next case for argument. Mr. Samuels.
Your Honors, in the short time we have to highlight why a motion for summary judgment should not be entertained, we ask the question to focus on the theory of how we must operate in a motion for summary judgment. What happened to Brian Malone? Brian Malone was not accused of doing anything at the time of preceding the discharge or during the discharge or after the discharge. Brian Malone was described to be a black African-American who worked for the American Friends Service Committee by operating in the ASEP program, African American Community Empowerment Program, and that he was allegedly a member of the group called Wachanga. It is not suggested that he stole money. It is not suggested that he did his job improperly. It is not suggested that he had inappropriate sexual relations with anybody. The question is on April 14th, 2004, why was Brian Malone fired?
Isn't the big problem you have the conclusions in that Kroll investigation, and it's been conceded that, you know, Malone is not charged specifically with any improper wrongdoing, but he was a member of that group with Changa. And when you look at that, what the results of the Kroll report were, that's a problem for you in terms of meeting legitimate business expectations at the time of termination. That is AFSC.
Well, if I don't consider it a problem, and that's the reason I raised Brian Malone, because people have to look, in particular, this court has to look to see what he is accused of being. If he's accused of being a member of a group called Wachanga, then he's fired because he belonged to the group.
Why does that violate anything? I mean, certainly, you need to then make a link between that and some category protected by statute, right? Because there's nothing in Title VII that says Wachanga members are protected groups.
No.
They could fire all Boy Scouts if they wanted to.
It was not a Title VII claim.
1981. It doesn't make any difference. There's nothing about Wachanga or Boy Scouts or anything else.
That's right. So why, if there's nothing about...
Saying it's not a protected category.
It is a protected category.
What, Wachanga
is?
Because
as defined in the motion for summary judgment, you had to be black to be a member of Wachanga, and you had to be a black member of Wachanga to work for the African American Community Empowerment Program. It is a mutually exclusive group. But for the fact that you are black, you can't be in the group. And if you're in the group, you're discharged because you are black. That's the reason I say we must look at Brian Malone carefully, because Brian Malone is a single individual with two other single individuals, and he's being, at best, discharged because he was a member of a black nationalist group, because of any work that he has done or any charges people have made against him.
I think you're confusing simultaneous events with because of events. And there's a constitutional case the Supreme Court has in the area of gender discrimination, Massachusetts Retirement Board against Feeney, where it was perfectly clear that everybody was male, not female. And the court draws a distinction between doing something because you are, in that instance, female, or doing something in spite of the fact. And it's it's that focus that I think one would need to look at. The Kroll report said all members of this Wuchanga group, unlike many, many other African-American groups, were problems. Whether that's right or wrong, if the Friends thought that that was a reason to dismiss them and shut down the program, I don't see where you get to intentional discrimination from that.
Clearly, we have a case of post hoc ergo propter hoc, which is the old-fashioned logic that says because it came after, therefore it was caused by. We have a situation in which Mr. Malone and was terminated or suspended October 6th. There is no claim that any of the three defendants did anything other than what was in a email which was never produced, which this court has never read, we have never read, which supposedly shocked the president. It did not go, the president of AFSC, it did not go through the processes of termination. The claim, this woman says, I was so shocked that I fired him on the spot. Now, for instance...
Well, let me ask you this, and that you claim it was October when they were suspended. Did they receive pay? Because they certainly received it in December of 2003. You know, when Kroll was hired, they were placed, all of them were placed on paid leave. Had they been on paid leave from October of 2003?
Certainly. From the day they were suspended,
right. So
they had been on paid leave, but the program had been abolished, terminated. They had turned in all their payroll records, all their resources, all their contacts, terminated every program that they worked in by October 6th. And the investigation didn't start until December 5th. So it wasn't because of some inappropriate activity as far as employment was concerned. It's based upon the fact that Brian Malone, these other people belong to Wuchanga, and we say you belong to Wuchanga, you fight.
Well, let me ask you another question, because it's clear you disagree with the Kroll Report's findings, right? You don't agree with those findings.
The weird part about this is the Kroll Report was never introduced
in
evidence.
But the summary of the Kroll Report was given to them before the termination. What I'm saying is that even if you disagree with that report, what evidence do you have that AFSC did not rely on it in making the termination decision?
Because AFSC didn't work. They didn't do anything. You got to remember that what was happening is they was fired by one individual, not pursuant to an AFSC code or employment manual. They were terminated by one individual who did not follow one rule of the American Friends Service Committee. And therefore, if that one person fires the people and the organization doesn't say, well, they've got due process and procedural rights to make a complaint, they are entitled to some kind of administrative review of one person says, I'm wiping out all of the work of American Friends Service Committee for 61 years, and there is no due process, even if we give you the due process, that could assuage my hurt feelings. Her feelings were hurt in September of 2002. The investigation of the programs was shut down, and the investigation began in December of 2002, a full 90 days after the program had been terminated. And they say, well, we paid you, didn't we? Well, Mr. Impatanishi, Mr. Rhodes says, I was 3 years a volunteer and 27 years a paid employee. I think I should have had an opportunity as provided in the personnel code to present my side of the story. I should have had the opportunity to not be charged with a tainted, a changed personnel code. I'll save the rest of my time, if any, for rebuttal.
Time has expired, counsel.
Pardon me?
Your time has expired. Mr. Sparrow.
Good afternoon. May it please. Good morning. May it please the court. I represent the American Friends Service Committee and the appellee here. I believe that the point was well taken by Judge Williams that the Kroll report was a third party brought in to investigate. The record is clear that this involved investigation, an interview of 11 witnesses, a multi-state investigation, and a report was provided ultimately to Mary Ellen McNish, the American Friends Service Committee's general secretary. The email that came in was an extremely disturbing email. The program was suspended initially. The American Friends Service Committee's ASAP program was suspended. There were only three employees, and those are the plaintiffs here, and they were put on a suspension for a period of time to allow an investigation. There was a false start with an investigation where a different investigator was retained. That person declined the project, unfortunately, and then Kroll came in and did it, unfortunately, starting in December. They issued their report. The report listed various things that went on with respect to the program as a whole and with respect to the individuals.
So it was October, in your view, when they were suspended?
I think
because you said there was an investigator that turned the job down. Then we know Kroll came in December.
December, yes. Okay. I think that they were suspended. Actually, I thought it was a little earlier than October.
All right.
But it was September.
And was that Kroll report produced during discovery?
I believe it was with a protective order.
Okay. I was just curious.
And about this original email, too, there's at least something in the record which actually begins as an email from somebody, Tammy Lemke. And eventually you get down to something. Then there's someone, Kamau LaRaviere. You get something that says, original email sent to the Champaign Park District concerning Rasul Mowat.
Yes, we weren't the first recipients of this email.
But this is the text of the email in question, so
it
is in the record.
I believe it is. It is in the record. It talks about cults and it talks about proprieties.
Right, right, right. It goes on quite a while.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And the program we should focus on involved youth in the African-American community here in Chicago and in Champaign. And there was another program in St. Louis that was not the same program, but also AFSC. That was suspended as well.
Maybe you should focus on Mr. Malone, because your opponent spent most of his time. And Mr. Malone does appear to be the least involved of these three individuals in the kinds of activities that the Kroll report turns up.
Yes, thank you. As I said, the allegations involve both the organization, the ASAP program, and individuals. And the ultimate conclusion was the entire program was taken over by this organization, Wachungath, who wasn't AFSC and wasn't ASAP. The program was, in the vernacular of the AFSC, laid down. It was discontinued.
How many programs like this does the AFSC have around the country?
African-American empowerment. I'm only aware of the two that were involved in this, but I suspect that there are various ones or various regional offices throughout the
nation.
But it
runs programs in general around the country of
many
different types?
Around the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a program or two programs that
this
they decided to discontinue.
Exactly. Two very specific programs, one in Chicago and Champaign, one in St. Louis. And both were laid down because they were the only ones that were the focus of the email, the focus of the investigation. And ultimately, while Mr. Malone was not accused of things, as were the other plaintiffs in the email, the investigation found that the program, the ASAP program, was overrun, was taken over by the Wachanga, and it was laid down. And once that happened, there's an implication that Mr. Malone, as part of the only three people there, had to know what was going on, but also that the program was laid down. There's no further employment for any of the three of them, and so Mr. Malone would have been discharged unfortunately, even if he was completely blameless. And so the decision to lay down the program, I think, is a legitimate business reason to terminate their employment. And I think objectively the decision to lay down the program to continue it was objectively reasonable and a prudent one. In that case, there's no attack of a legitimate business reason. And when you come back to the beginning, on the prima facie case, Judge Williams pointed to the qualification, but there's also the question of comparators. There's no one to compare to. This is an unusual and extreme situation. I think it was dealt with professionally and appropriately, and I don't think that there was any evidence on this record to support a prima facie case or ultimately a trial. And so the district court's decision should be affirmed by this court. Thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.